Well, if we have our first slide up, Shirley. St. Paul's Bay, Malta. Of course, we don't know where Paul landed exactly on the island, but there's still a St. Paul's Bay in Malta today. But here we are in Britain in midsummer. And I must confess that as I saw and heard the rain pouring down today, Malta seemed like quite an attractive prospect. The government has just put Malta on the green list, and I was checking the travel requirements yesterday. I think if you're double vaccinated, you could go there without having to self-isolate on arrival. Paul winters in Malta, doesn't he? That's a nice idea. Winter in Malta. I think you know that Malta would be on Paul and Luke's green list too. Because, next slide, Paul receives an extraordinary welcome there in Malta. Now just imagine for a moment that you didn't know anything of the Gospels or of the Bible. When Jesus the Messiah came, who is it that you would expect would probably be most likely to receive him? Well, surely his own Jewish people who were waiting for the Messiah, those who knew their Old Testament scriptures and could see how the promises of God were pointing forward to Jesus and how he fulfilled them. We've been seeing in Acts a certain amount of humour and some surprises and some reversals. And we see some of that in our Bible reading today. And I think this is one of the big surprises of Luke and Acts. Who is it who is most open often to receive Jesus? It's not the religious people who know the scriptures. It's not the people who would think of themselves as good. It's often the sinners and the outcasts. Sometimes the women who are excluded from some things in society. Sometimes the sick, the marginalised, the people that people didn't like or get on with, those who thought would never be interested in Jesus. And, you know, Jesus and his first disciples, of course, they were Jewish, but many of the Jewish people, many of the Jewish leaders had rejected Jesus. And increasingly through Acts, we've seen it's the Gentile nations, the non-Jewish people, who are more open to Jesus. This is one of the great themes of Acts and of the New Testament. The moving from the gospel going first to the Jews and then to the Gentile nations. Now, Paul doesn't tell us anything about a single person becoming a Christian on Malta. There wasn't necessarily a great revival or many people converted. But they do show a surprising openness and an extraordinary welcome. They build this fire for Paul and they welcome him and his companions as they recover from the storm which they've experienced. You know, it's sometimes like that for us today, isn't it? We can't predict who might be open and interested in the gospel, who might recognise their need of Jesus. Sometimes we think people might be open and sympathetic, and they're not. They can't see their need of Jesus. God sometimes surprises us in who he's working in and what he's doing. We know from Acts that the big picture is that God is taking the good news of Jesus to the people of all nations. Paul receives an extraordinary welcome. And then two more points from our passage. First of all, this next slide, Paul experiences Jesus' promise. Now, do you remember that Jesus has promised Paul that he's going to bear witness for him in Rome. And so Paul is immortal till his work is done, like all of us. Doesn't mean that we have an easy, simple life as Christians, but God is able to take care of his people and advance his mission. We're immortal till our work here on earth is done. But a surprising thing happens in our passage. Paul and all his companions have been saved from the storm, but then Paul is bitten by a snake. It would be ironic, wouldn't it, for Paul to be saved from the sea only to die from a snake bite. And you can imagine the islanders there, maybe they recognize the snake, and there's a bit of nudging and pointing. They just say, oh, just wait. It won't be long now. He'll probably swell up. He's looking remarkably well, but just wait. It won't be long. Oh, perhaps he'll suddenly drop dead. But Paul, surprisingly, humorously perhaps, defies their expectations. Paul experiences Jesus' promise to keep him safe and to bring him to Rome to bear witness to him. And of course, the snake is significant. We thought a bit last time about the significance of the sea in the scriptures as a picture of chaos and death. But ever since Genesis chapter 3, the snake has been significant too, as associated with Satan. And when Jesus had sent out his 72 disciples in mission, he'd given them a particular promise. He said to them, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing can harm you. Paul experiences Jesus' promise. In fact, through what Paul is doing, Jesus is dismantling Satan's kingdom and building the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Paul and the apostles, they triumph over Satan. They bring in something of Jesus' kingdom. The islanders, they have a sort of radical reaction to Jesus. They swing between two dramatically different opinions, which I think, again, we're probably meant to smile at. First of all, when he's bitten by the snake, they think, oh, he must be somebody particularly wicked. Fancy that, to survive a storm only to be killed by a snake. Perhaps he was a murderer. This must be a sign of God's curse. But then, when he suddenly survives, they say, oh no, he must be a god. They veer between the two different positions. In fact, they're the opposite of the people in Lystra. You might remember them from earlier in the book of Acts. They'd worshipped Paul as a god when he'd healed somebody, and then they'd stoned him to death. So the people here are an opposite. But what does Luke, what does Paul want us to think about him? Well, not that he's particularly wicked, not that he's a god. He wants us to have a sober understanding of who Paul was, as Jesus' authorized representative, Jesus' ambassador and spokesman. And that's shown in what happens next. Next slide, please, Shirley. Paul exercises Jesus' power. Time and time again in Acts, we've seen how Luke is showing us how Paul is like Jesus. Jesus is the master, Paul is his servant. And Paul heals this man, heals many. He does the signs and wonders that accompany an apostle and mark him out as the spokesman of Jesus. Jesus is at work through Paul. And again, that's the big picture of Acts, isn't it? That God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is continuing Jesus' work through his people. Paul receives an extraordinary welcome. Paul experiences Jesus' promise. And Paul exercises Jesus' power. Well, what does this all mean for us? Let's see our final slide, Shirley. It encourages us to believe Paul's message, because Paul is the spokesman of Jesus. Paul is telling the nations the good news about him. And it encourages us to support Paul's mission, just like the islanders did in verse 10. Luke writes, they honoured us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. They became supporters of Paul's mission. We know that what God is doing in the world is bringing the good news of Jesus to the nations in the power of the Spirit. And we're not apostles. We might not be missionaries to foreign lands. We might not ever get to go to Malta. But whoever we are, and wherever we are, we're called to play our part in God's mission by how we live, by what we say, by our prayers, and by our giving. We too are to be supporters of Paul's mission because it's Jesus' mission. Well, let's pray together that God would enable us to play our part in his mission. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the great power of Jesus that keeps us safe, immortal, till our work is done. So whether our lives are long or short, easy or hard, keep us trusting in that great message of Jesus. And help us to play our part in your mission, in the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen.